A lot of you have been calling in, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, that's a child in the Indian River Correctional Facility. Well, we all know that there were 12 inmates. There were 12 inmates, juvenile inmates, who barricaded themselves in a room after allegedly stealing keys to take over part of the facility. Okay? You saw the video. If you follow me on social media, you saw the video. Well, right now, I've got a pretty big interview that we're about to get underway, and it's with a woman. We're going to go with their first name, Heidi, and her son was actually an inmate inside the Indian River facility, but she says that he's the one who actually started the riot. Joining us right now is Heidi. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on. I know this has to be extremely tough for you this morning.
Oh, yes.
Talk to me a little bit, Heidi, about what happened. I mean, how did you know your son started this? Did he call you? How did this get underway?
I received a call on Saturday, and it came up, like the number from the Indian River. And usually when that number comes up, it's usually a case manager or unit manager calling me. My son has never called me unless it's off of his tablet. So when that number came up, I was thinking it was one of them. And when I heard my son's voice, I was like, whoa. And he was like, Mom, he was like, I just wanted to call and tell you I did something stupid. He was like, I took keys and I let other inmates out. He was like, and we're barricading ourselves and we're not letting them in and we're going to destroy stuff. He was like, I'm tired of it. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, why are you doing this? And he was like, because, Mom, they're mistreating us and they don't feed us and they're wrong to us. And I was like, no. I was like, no, don't. I was like, you're lying. Well, some other kid got on the phone and was telling me the same stuff. And I could hear all the other boys in the background saying stuff too. Well, then my son got back on the phone and I just kept telling him, like, no, please don't do it. Go out. And like, I was upset because of it, but he was like, I love you. He was like, I'll call you back if I can. And I was like, okay. So I waited a while and I didn't hear back from him. And finally he called me back again. And he had told me it was really serious. Like, I thought he was lying to me. And he's like, no, Mom. He was like, it's on the news. He was like, there's stadies, there's sheriffs, there's the SWAT team. He was like, they're all out here, Mom. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't even know why I did it. He was like, they're mistreating us, Mom, and here you just don't know. And I'm like, son, just please stop. Like, stop. And he was like, well, I just want you to know I love you, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll probably get taken down to the jail. And he's like, if I can call you back, I will, but I just know I love you, Mom. And I heard from him one more time after that, and it was just for him to tell me he loved me, and then that was it. I didn't hear from him no more.
Wow. I can only imagine what's running through your mind when you get that first phone call, Heidi, and then you don't get another phone call, you know, until a little bit later, and that feeling of not knowing what's going on. Your son, only 16 years old, you know, why? I mean, why do you think he would do such a thing?
I honestly don't know. I really think, like, you know, it was gang related, but the more and more I've been seeing stuff and talking to people, like, I mean, people say kids are mistreated in there and stuff like that. So it makes me think, you know, maybe he was by certain people. I mean, I've spoke with, you know, some of his unit managers and case managers, and like I said, a lot of them have been very helpful to my son, and I know they have. But other than that, I don't know as far as the guards, how they're treating my son or anything, or how that goes. I just don't know. But my son, you know, I usually keep in contact with him all the time. He's always calling me unless he gets in trouble and gets his tablet taken. But the unit manager or the case managers will still allow him to call me and go out of their way for my son to call me to tell me what he did. And I just feel like, you know, like he's in with the wrong group of kids, but I feel like it's gang related and the boys are trying to tell him to do things and he's listening because he wants, you know, he wants to fit in or whatnot. Because this ain't my son, this isn't something he would do. And at the same time, though, I feel maybe they have been mistreated and done wrong, you know, and he's only 16 and I'm just worried. I haven't heard from him since, and they won't let him call me, talk to me, or nothing. They won't tell me nothing or anything.
Heidi, a question that I've gotten a lot, not as much a question as it is a statement. People are saying that if the kids had discipline at home, if parents were parents, we wouldn't have these kids in this facility. When you hear a comment, when you read a message like that, what do you think as a parent who has someone in the Indian River facility?
I get mad, like I had spoke with somebody else prior to this. My son does not live with me. He lives with his father in Ohio. I live in another state, and I keep in contact with my kids as far as that. But he just got on the wrong path why he was in Ohio and hung around with the wrong group of kids, and that's why Fabian ended up where he was. He originally wasn't even sentenced to there. He was in a detention center, and everybody, tried to get Fabian to listen and do things and this and that, and my son just, I don't know, was just, I honestly don't know. He just, I felt like, wanted to fit in with people is why he does the things he does. And when he was where he was at, it wasn't working out because of the trouble he got in there. So they requested for him to go to Indian River, and I didn't want him to because I've heard stories about it. And I tried to tell him it wasn't what he thought it would be, and that's where the judge sent him. She didn't even want to send him there, but that's where they ended up sending him.
How long was he sentenced to be at Indian River for?
I think it was only originally for a few months, like 6 months to a year. And his time had came up for him to be able to get out. But since he had gotten into trouble, he went in front of the board and some more time got added on to him. And then he started doing really well again, because we had talked to him and everything, and he started doing well again. And then a few weeks back, he did something else again in there and then got 6 more months added on to his sentence starting December 10th. So
isn't it just
going to come home?
Heidi, I have a cousin who has done dumb things. He was 3 months away from getting out, and he escaped out of one of our local facilities here in 2020. He got 3 years in prison for it. Isn't it just amazing to think, man, all you got to do is complete a couple steps, do these last couple months of your sentence, and you're out. And then are you scared now, Heidi, that your son at 16 years old is going to be sent away to actual prison now because of, destroying a facility?
Yes, I'm very, very worried. That's all that keeps crossing my mind. Like I said, the Stark County Jail will not allow him to talk to nobody, won't even tell him anything, won't even tell me if he's okay or anything. I know they got pepper spray, and I know they said they received treatment, but I still wanted to make sure he was fine. Like, I don't know if he's eating. I don't know if he's drinking. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, at times my son does get emotional and very emotional, and I'm just worried. He's only 16. No, it wasn't right what he nor any of the other boys did, but they did it for some reason. I just don't know why, and I haven't been able to talk to my son to see.
Are you worried about your son prior to this being at Indian River? I know that you said you had heard stuff, but were you ever worried about your son getting injured while he was at Indian River?
Yes, I did. I did by, like I said, other kids being in the gangs and stuff or fights that he would end up in. Yes, I did. And I stressed it to him several times. Or I was afraid, a guard would, tase them or whatnot or whatever they have to do. I have stressed it to him several times that I was worried about him in there and not knowing if he would even come out of there or get sent to the actual big people prison and even come out of there, like I told him. I mean, it crosses my mind every single day. I think about him every day.
Yeah.
Crosses my mind.
Hey, I really appreciate you coming on, Heidi. We have got to get to a break here, but can you remain on hold and can we come back to you after our break?
Yes.
All right. We're going to do that. That way we can continue to hear more of your story. We'll be right back after this, though. We're live and local. I'm Jordan Miller. Welcome back. It's Jordan Miller here on News Talk 1480 WHBC. Joining us, we have Heidi back with us. Heidi, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Wonderful. So, I just wanted to continue this conversation. If you're just joining us, we'll have this interview up on our website later, WHBC.com. You'll be able to listen to the first part of it earlier. Heidi's son is an inmate at the Indian River Juvenile Correctional Facility, and she was and her son was one of the juvenile inmates, only 16 years old, one of the 12 that was barricaded inside of the facility after stealing keys and having a standoff situation with people in riot gear, law enforcement and whatnot. You said, Heidi, that you fear for your son's safety there. I want to ask you, do you think that it's because it's short-staffed? Why do you think that safety is such an issue in the Indian River facility?
Well, honestly, up until this episode, I didn't know they were short-staffed. Until I started reading everything, I never knew that. So honestly, I really didn't know on that. My whole thing was like the gang-related stuff, and I was worried something was going to happen to him. Being he's never been in like a type of a prison before. He's just been in detention centers, like, and it's nothing like where he's at now.
Yeah. So you didn't think that the staffing was an issue until you found out that 12 inmates overtook the jail.
Yeah, I never knew. Like, nobody's ever said it to me. He's never even said it to me, so I never even knew. Like, it's never been brought to my attention, so I had no clue at all up until that day, and then I started reading everything the last couple of days about it. So, yeah, I would have never known until up until that.
A lot of people are saying that these kids, you know, they may not have any structure, you know, whether at home or when they're not at the Indian River facility. Did you think that going to a detention center, juvenile detention center here in Maslin, did you think that your son would actually get some structure and some guidance while behind bars?
Well, I mean, he did have somewhat at home. He did, but I mean, it just, I guess, wasn't enough. And yes, I thought him going there, even hearing that, like, it's a place that is scary or whatnot, I actually never, like, heard the bad things about it or anything. I just knew, like, it was way scarier than an actual, just a little detention center. I thought maybe it would put the fear in him and scare him to where he would straighten up and go on the right path, because he's a good kid. I mean, he used to play football. He used to go to school. I mean, he used to just hang out with good people and everything. And then it just all of a sudden switched up to, he did a whole 360.
Mm. Oh yeah. And that's the thing. All it takes is for those, kids to get wrapped up in the wrong crowd there. And, you know, as a parent, you know, you want what's best for your child and you want to love them unconditionally now and, now and forever, whenever they're out of this stint here. Are you worried that this will just set a precedent for your son and other children that were part of the takeover, that, well, you could just do whatever you want when you're behind bars? Or do you think that this will be a hard lesson learned for them?
I'm really hoping that it'd be a hard lesson learned for them. Like I said, I'm hoping, you know, he's sitting there right now thinking about it and like realizing like, ooh, what kind of trouble am I going to be in now or whatever. I'm hoping that's what it is. That's why I wish they would let me talk to him. And I'm really, really irritated and mad that the Stark County Jail will not absolutely let me talk to him or even tell me anything, being he's only 16 years old. He's not even an adult, to where Indian River won't even tell me anything. All they told me was he is at the Stark County Jail. Nobody is returning my phone call. I only spoke to his unit manager, and they had been the ones to tell me where he was. They were just finding stuff out there themselves. And like I said, nobody will return my calls and tell me anything. I just keep getting the runaround, and I think it's crazy because he's only 16. They should keep a parent updated with their child.
Do you think Do you think that moving forward, we'll see any changes within the Ohio juvenile correction system, or do you want to see any changes?
Yes, I do. I hope so. I hope so. I mean, you know, I hope there's a change with the kids and also with the staff there as well. And, you know, depending on what kids are in there for and their sentencing, I think they should keep all different kids separate from, you know, the bad ones or the long-term ones or whatnot. And maybe it wouldn't be such an issue because you got some kids in there that, you know, are there for a long term of time to where you only got some kids that are in there a short term. And then you got some kids that are going in there as gang members and some that have no idea that never been in no gang or anything like that. And then you just got, you know, I get, like I said, the finding out the understaff or whatnot, but that still don't give them the right to treat the kids any type of way, nor the kids to treat the staff any type of way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the staff, they're just trying to work. And from what I've heard from people we've spoke to, the staff, because of Ohio laws, they really can't discipline or restrain or anything. And that's why we've seen two guards in the last 7 days injured at Indian River. It's
yeah,
very unfortunate.
That. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't even know about that till I read about that.
Yeah.
I thought everything was going good with him in there after the last episode that happened. And it wasn't nothing like this. Like, I thought, you know, from talking to the case manager and unit manager, you know, he was going to school and everything and doing what he was supposed to. I thought he was doing good, but I still don't know what drew this to really happen. And that's why I can't stress enough, I want to speak to my son, and nobody is allowing that to happen. And I'm just irritated because of it.
I completely, completely understand what you're saying and your frustration. Heidi.
I mean, he has a younger sister, and it's not only affecting me, it's really affecting his younger sister too, because they were always together and so close. She's never had to be away from her brother, and she's already been away from him 2 years, and now who knows how much longer. So it's affecting my daughter as well, his younger sister.
Man. Heidi, thank you so much for coming on, and we will talk to you in the near future as we continue to follow this. And you have a blessed Tuesday, all right?
You too. Thank you.